Welcome to Business Innovators Radio, featuring industry influencers and trendsetters sharing proven strategies to help you build a better life right now.
Welcome to Positive News Now. I'm your host, Gail Nowak. Today, my guest is George Wong, who is a bit of a folk legend in certain circles because when he retired as a board-certified plastic surgeon at the age of 40 and then became a professional business coach in 2005, he created an annualized six-figure revenue stream in just 73 days. Then he went on to double it by the end of the year. Today, through his company, Freedompreneur MD, George helps holistic physicians develop healthy medical practices that enable them to take great holistic care of their patients, put more profit in their pockets, and live a life they love. He is the co-author of Financial Statements Made Practical, a step-by-step visual guide, which is used in business schools today. And he's the creator of Profit Stash, a web-based financial tool that guides entrepreneurs to boost their cash flow and profits. Welcome, George.
Oh, thanks, Gail, for having me.
Yeah, it's such a treat to have you on the show. You and I have been crossing paths for several years, so it's fun to have this conversation with you. And why don't you just start off by telling us a little bit more about your company and the holistic physicians that you're helping?
Yeah, so I started out, you know, with big dreams when I was a teenager to become a plastic surgeon. It took a while to do that. I didn't know from the point that I decided to become a plastic surgeon that it's going to take 15 years. But it did, even on the fast track with college and medical school and 7 years of surgical residency. And so I got out in the real world at the age of 32 and was ready to change the world. But when I started out in private practice, I didn't know how to, I didn't know I was the practice or how to run the business side of things. So it created a lot of problems, and I was nearly broke by the end of a couple years. Mm-hmm. So, kind of frustrating, embarrassing, humiliating. But I figured, well, if I can learn to become a plastic surgeon, I can figure this out. And so, I had to study and, learn marketing and selling and office management and billing and money management. And I turned the practice around, the practice was purchased by a larger medical center after a few years, but somewhere around the sixth or seventh year of being in practice, I realized this wasn't fun anymore. And my nurse even knew it, but I felt that I was trapped, that medicine wasn't what I thought it was. Nirvana or the nothing wrong. It wasn't the altruistic profession that I thought it was. Not that most physicians don't want to help, but there's still lots of characters. People are people.
Right, right.
I was pretty naive. And I had, quite a rude awakening, having a lot of financial problems when I first started out. And then I ended up doing more and more cosmetic surgery because it paid a lot better than insurance. I didn't know how to fight with insurance carriers. And the more cosmetic surgery, I don't have anything against cosmetic surgery, but the more cosmetic surgery I did, the less happy I was. Even though I was making more money, it just wasn't what I signed up to do. I signed up to reconstructive plastic surgery. So that was another part of the disappointment. And another disappointment was that, I did start without knowing the word. I started practicing holistically, recommend things to patients that weren't part of the allopathic medical model. They weren't, by today's standards, they weren't by any means outside the box. But back then, it was new. And I was criticized for doing those things. So in certain ways, I felt like a fish out of water. So when I left medicine, there was a lot of, mixed feelings. But I felt that, I didn't want to keep working at a profession that I didn't enjoy anymore. Wasn't really passionate about and miss out on my kids growing up for a job that was just a job. And so I left without without a parachute, without a plan. It wasn't planned months in advance. But I figured, well, if I can learn to become a plastic surgeon, I can figure out what I'm going to do next. And I'll land on my feet somewhere. how I learned how to a lot about the business side of entrepreneurship. And then I've learned a lot since then, of course, having helped entrepreneurs literally from around the world, from all types of industries. But more recently, I think, Gail, when you and I first met, I was working with all types of entrepreneurs, and now I'm more focused on holistic positions. Even though I still get calls from other types of entrepreneurs, which, you know, I'm happy to talk to them, point them in the right direction. But I realized that with my background and having practiced, and the style with which I practiced, and what I've learned about the entrepreneurial side of things, both with online and offline approaches to successful business, that I could really help to transform healthcare in this world by helping holistic physicians. So, long-winded answer to your question, but that's how this all came about.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because I think that this can be applied to a lot of industries, but one of the things that I learned in becoming an entrepreneur is that the fun factor, the faith factor, and the money factor are, or at least in my experience, those were things that I didn't realize were so important to being successful as a business owner. And it's not something that you learn in school. It doesn't matter if it's medical school or college or any school. And I know that, you know, I was reading through your materials and I believe that was something that you said, that the business side of it, business side being kind of the hard skills, but I think also the soft skills too. You just don't learn that in school. It's kind of like that life school, right?
I agree. I think that at least for the medical side of things, it's not taught because our professors aren't in private practice like that. Mm-hmm. And they're not teaching these types of things, and the curriculum's not set up for that. Our curriculum's set up for the sciences and being a physician. But I know there are other professions where that's the case as well. And I think that's a major oversight.
What's one of the biggest problems that you help your clients solve?
Well, I think one of the biggest ones is that, just like I was back when I started out in practice in 95, is I did not know an ounce of what I should do on the business side. When I'm working with a physician, that's still many times the case. And so they don't necessarily know what are all the moving parts that are critical for them to be successful in practice. And you may be wondering, well, why do they need to know this? Why are they leaving? Well, these days, to practice as a holistic physician, it's less common. And most physicians these days are employees of, say, a medical center or a larger group or a hospital. But if you're going to practice holistically, you have to go the other direction and set up shop, you know, hang your own shingle. And so most physicians don't know, like I mentioned earlier, how to manage their business finances. They don't know how to promote their practice. They don't know how to handle all the workflows that go with being on their own. Everything that, as you said, that applies to any type of other business applies to being for medical practice. And gone are the days where you could make enough money that it didn't matter how inefficiently you practiced.
When you're talking about transforming healthcare, so I sort of hear that in two different ways. I hear that in the sense that healthcare is shifting perhaps to this more holistic model, kind of on a slower, grander scale. But then I also hear that you're helping your clients in these holistic physicians. And actually, for the benefit of the listeners, if you could kind of give some examples of what that actually means. But for them in particular, it sounds like you're transforming them in the sense of really being able to take control of their own destiny.
Yeah. So, well, let me answer the first part. What is a holistic physician? So yeah. What that really applies to is that, you know, in the allopathic model, we're very much taught a linear cause and effect, that something, this happens, and therefore this result, this symptom appears, or this disease or illness appears. And that's true to a degree, but it breaks down because there's more to health and wellness and disease and illness than just the linear cause and effect. Physical body, but there's also the mind, the spirit. And over the past, you know, 3 decades, there have been a lot, there's a lot more talk about mind, body, spirit, a lot of books, a lot of, but still the overall medical world has taken a while to start catching up. Not that there aren't people who are doing work more prominently featured in holistic medicine, but still lags behind where it could be and where it will be, say, 50 years from now. So holistic is also known as integrative, alternative, complementary. There's some physicians also refer to themselves as functional medicine or natural physicians. It can embrace, you can be an allopathic physician or a naturopath or an osteopathic physician. As far as, so the other part of your question, so one is, there are 2 parts to that. One is helping these holistic physicians to be successful in their practices, because the more successful they are, the more quickly we can transform the landscape of healthcare. People able to access holistic care, more people aware that this is available. So there's an education process, there's an awareness process. But also, we can also transform the whole medical attitude, the medical model, to be more holistic. And I also think that at a personal level, it's important to support physicians because it's a lonely road. And they are, in a sense, proverbially the salmon swimming upstream. So there's, you're right, Gail, there's transformation that's happening at multiple levels.
Yeah, and I would imagine that it could be a little scary to buck that trend, right? So what are some of the myths that might hold maybe a traditional practitioner back from going the holistic route?
Well, that's a great question, because I think that it is a scary road to take, because if you've been in a situation where you're in an environment where all you really need to do is show up for work and office hours and being on call, and then you go to being in private practice, well, all of a sudden you're responsible for everything in private practice, to the office staffing, to making sure that you're doing well with marketing, that the patients show up, and that can be a tremendous shock. And I think that's what holds a lot of people back, is because there is the financial security of having, being part of a group or medical center, and having someone else take care of all those parts, frankly, aren't particularly exciting to a lot of people. Most of us didn't go to medical school to learn how to keep track of our financial books. Although there's some people who are wired for it, but it's not fun for them. And so I think fear is what holds most. I think there's also fear of what we don't know, we don't know, fear of the unknown. And there's an innate understanding that they are taking risks. This is not there's no guarantee. You mentioned, you know, we have the opportunity to have more fun, the opportunity to have more freedom, the opportunity to have a more flexible schedule, sure, but there's still a lot of risks and potential downsides if things don't go well to being in private practice. So, even though there are no guarantees, I think that being more aware of all the moving parts and having your blind spots revealed, and understanding where to focus and what tools and technology to use, things to avoid, I think that having guidance from people who are experienced stacks the odds more in your favor that you'll be successful. And I know that when I started out, I didn't have any guides. I essentially became the business guide and mentor that I wish that I had had when I was starting out as a newly minted plastic surgeon.
Yeah, you know, I hear a lot of similar themes. I think that this happens for a lot of entrepreneurial-minded professionals, right? Because there's probably a sense of, this model isn't working for me. I want to do it a different way. And it's a calling or a push that's strong enough to get them to take that initial risk. And then it's sort of like, okay, I jumped into the water. Now what? So tell me a little bit more about how you, you know, once people have made that commitment to taking this path and they're kind of in it and they're like, oh my gosh, I have to do marketing. I have to do sales. I have to do billing. Like I have to do all of this. What did I do? Like, how do you help your clients, first of all, wrap their head around that and then figure out, okay, this is really where you want to focus your energy, because it can be kind of overwhelming, right? And I think that sort of being scattered, it is one of the ways that entrepreneurs in general can kind of get tripped up. And you had mentioned blind spots and sort of being focused on maybe not the right things at first.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So everything you just said is totally accurate. And so what I do is first, you know, have a conversation to understand what the situation is, what's working, what's not working, what is the physician's goals, hopes, dreams, aspirations, what are the current problems and issues, challenges, frustrations, and worries. And I'm also looking for what are their strengths, what are their natural strengths, because what happens is a lot of people, not just physicians, but entrepreneurs in general, we're voracious learners. We're lifelong learners. We'll go out and learn a lot of different things, books, articles, talking to people, going to workshops and conferences, taking courses online, and we'll get a lot of great ideas. And then we'll start trying to put them into action. And a lot of times they're not actionable, or they are actionable. They're the wrong things, the wrong priorities. And why are they? Well, because priorities depend on the stage of the business, the practice, and they also the physician or the entrepreneur doesn't necessarily know what are the right strategies and tactics to them, and that's because they're not necessarily using strategies or tactics that play to their strengths. So what I do is I take an inventory of the entrepreneur's strengths and blockers, and I can actually measure this. I can measure how they're wired as an entrepreneur. I can measure how they're wired in terms of thinking, critical decision making, and also how they translate their thinking and decision making into behaviors and communication in the real world. And knowing that information, which I can measure more objectively, I can pair that with my own qualitative sense of speaking with them and my intuitive sense about how they're wired. And then I can better select and avoid certain strategies that may be either the best fit for them or the things that should be avoided, at least for the time being. And that helps me to put together a strategic game plan for getting started and getting moving in the right direction. Of course, the game plan needs to change as results start happening or results don't happen. But I'm a firm believer that two things. You have to have it start out with a game plan. And two, the game plan has to capitalize on their strengths and minimize.
You totally hit my geek buttons, because you're talking about two areas that have been and probably always will be fascinating to me, sort of human behavior, how the brain works, how to really leverage the way that we're physiologically wired, you know, or mentally wired. And then that intuitive piece, which is really intriguing to me. I've been actually talking to a lot more people and professionals in the medical field who are starting to really be more vocal about that intuitive piece. I mean, we all know that there's a lot of schooling and analytical decisions, and you know, I always forget which hemisphere of the brain is the more creative and which one's the more analytical. But you know, there's a lot of left brain type of focus. But I'm starting to hear more and more people talk about that intuitive piece. And I know that that's really important, you know, as an entrepreneur. Like there's a lot of decisions that I think entrepreneurs make with their gut, and maybe try to back up with their brain. So talk to us a little bit more about the integration of that, because it sounds to me like you really need to have both and you really have to trust both.
Yeah, totally agree. So when I'm working with a a client, I tell them there are two I's in any business, letter I's in any business. There's the intellect, and then there's the intuition. And I tell them, you have both, so you're going to use both. It's kind of like most people have two eyes and two ears, right? You don't usually walk around with your eye covered throughout the day if you have two eyes. You know, visualize, right?
Right.
We use both, right? We most people have two kidneys, so hopefully both kidneys are working. So, but the problem is that, and this I think is our educational system or society, is that there's a huge overwhelming tendency to overemphasize the intellect. I think it's because it's easier to measure, right? You can measure academic performance. It doesn't mean anything in the real world sometimes, because you can have a patient and not be able to implement it. But I think that intuition is equally, if not important, more important than the intellectual side. And so I encourage clients to practice developing their intuition, even on small, tiny things that are relatively inconsequential, and start learning to trust it. And I use this in practice. I remember having conversations with patients. Hey, you know, the medical literature has nothing to guide us here. We're kind of off-roading right now, so to speak. And we have some other options, but we don't have, you know, huge scientific studies to guide us. So we're going to have to rely on intuition. They seem like, well, my intuitive sense is this is the pathway to go. What's your intuitive? Or I might ask the patient that first, so I'm not influencing. A lot of times they would simply agree with, you know, what my intuitive sense was. So I would talk about patients about this kind of thing. I remember I was in a personal growth wilderness training program many, many years ago. And there was an outdoor course. We had to navigate. They had ropes strung across different trees in the forest. And we were blindfolded. We had to make it from one end to the other. With just one hand on the rope, on the dead end, right?
Yeah.
I thought, okay, I'll have to use my intuition, of course, right? I don't have the ability to see anything. And so I would just feel the energy, fingertips holding. I remember I got started and I heard people in front of me giggling, and I immediately thought, I've got to get away from them. I don't want to be near them. So I felt a branch in the rope, it took a turn, and it turned out to be a dead end. And what happened, Gail, is that my intellect kicked in, my ego kicked in. I said, I need to get away from this giggling. They're not serious about this exercise. I made a turn because I wanted to get away. But then I said, you know what? I can't do that. I have to don't feel the energy in my fingers. So I did that. I focused and concentrated. And I made it through the rest of the course without missing a single step. And that taught me the importance of trusting my intuition and sticking with it and knowing when I was getting distracted.
You know what I love about that story, too, is that they were having fun.
They were. That's why they're having fun, too.
Right. So what are some of the outcomes that your clients have achieved after working with you? I know you've had a couple of clients, best your record, right?
Yeah. So what that means is they created an annualized figure revenue stream in a certain amount of time, and it's sustained. It can't just be 1 month; it has to be over a period of months that it's sustainable. So, you know, a lot of people come to me and they go, "Well, can I create revenue that quickly? Can you help me do that?" And the answer is maybe, maybe not. Because it depends on a lot of factors. But I think what's more important is to learn the fundamentals of what it takes to be successful. You know, work with a client. I don't necessarily know how well they're going to do. I may have predictions, but predictions, they're not always reliable. So what the client typically ends up doing is learning a lot of things about themselves. They learn a lot of things about the fundamentals of being effective, like the marketing, selling side of things. Documenting systems and workflows, to understanding what financial management system they should use and how to use it, and getting into the habits of doing all these things on a regular basis, and really being themselves, having a lot more fun, restoring that passion that they once had of being a physician, and having a lot more confidence as an entrepreneur, because most physicians don't think of themselves as entrepreneurs. They think of themselves as physicians. I'm a healthcare professional. Mm-hmm. So talking about entrepreneurship and business for a lot of physicians seems like sacrilegious. What do you mean I'm in business? No, I'm not here first to make money. I'm not a money grubber. And I'll have all these things come up. But, you know, I'll tell them, yeah, you're not a money grubber. You're first and foremost. You can be altruistic. And you can even be altruistic to a fault, but you still need, if you're going to be successful, you still need to understand the fundamentals of business. And why should you care? Is because if you want to take care of the patients in the holistic manner that you're dedicated to, by definition, if you're going to be in private practice, you have to have a successful practice. You have to have a holistically healthy practice. I have this saying, if you're going to take great holistic care of your patients, you need to have a holistically healthy practice.
Yeah, it's kind of like everything in life, right? You need to take care of yourself, actual self, your business, right? Before you can kind of go out and take care of things outside of yourself. That's kind of what I'm hearing from you. Yeah.
When I started out, I was part of a business book. Came out in 2004, I think, and it's called Create the Business Breakthrough You Want. I was the only person who was not a business person or entrepreneur who was in the book. My point is that I wrote a section in the book called that was about your health being the foundation of all wealth. And health meant not just the physical, but the mental, emotional, spiritual, and social sides of health and wellness. And I wrote that if you don't have those in place, nothing else matters. But if they are in place, you'll be more prosperous and you'll be more successful in all the other areas of your life, whether it's financial, your creative self-expression, relationships, other people. And so that's really what I believe. And that's the idea behind helping physicians who want to practice in a holistic manner, is so that they can help their own patients to lead their lives in this holistic manner.
So tell us about some of the positive shifts that you've experienced either in your own business or with your clients or even the world as a result of your work and the way that you help your clients sort of focus on, you know, this whole holistic model, right? Like, it's not just holistic healthcare. It's kind of holistic philosophy.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It's not just professional, personal. So there's no way to draw that line and turn one thing off and have what you do personally not show up professionally and vice versa. But to answer your question, what's one positive difference? I think we all as physicians we signed up and we made the sacrifices of time and energy and financially to go to medical school and residency and then going to we did that because we first and foremost wanted to help people. Want to make a difference in people's lives. Not that other people don't, but we wanted to do it in a very direct, hands-on way by helping people with their health. And for a lot of us, we got out in practice and we figured out very quickly that it wasn't like what we thought it was going to be when we signed up. And, these days, unfortunately, a lot of the surveys show that many, many physicians are unhappy with their career. And depending on what survey you see or read, up to 50% of physicians who are in practice say they wouldn't do this again.
Wow.
Quite disconcerting. So if you go to your doctor, there's a 50-50 chance
that they're not happy to be there.
I learned, I didn't realize this, but physicians have one of the highest, if not the highest, suicide rate of all the highly trained professions.
Wow.
I didn't know. I thought it was... Oh, no, it turns out, depending again on what study you read, it's so what does that tell you? Well, there's a high dissatisfaction rate. And I don't think that as caregivers, we're not supported holistically to be successful. We're taught to sacrifice and give and give and give. And that doesn't work. It's just like being on an airplane and not giving yourself the oxygen mask and trying to help other people while you're going to pass out pretty soon. So a lot of things are broken with the existing medical. And we can talk about it all we want, but talk is cheap and we need to take action. So the things that I'm working on with the physicians are one small way to for all of us to start moving forward and transform the whole medical. And I think that's to answer one of your questions. I don't think I fully answered it, but it was what is one of the biggest differences that I make? Which is to instill, I think, confidence in physicians that they can pursue their dream, they can pursue what they're passionate about, and still be successful on the business side of it.
Yeah, when you say it, it sounds simple, but I know that there's a lot that goes into that, and it's really, truly critical when you think about, gosh, the statistics that you just shared are shocking. And I think about going into, you know, a doctor, whether it's a wellness visit or if somebody's sick, and just sort of this idea that they might not be so thrilled to be there, like how that could potentially affect the care of so many people. It's kind of astonishing. So just that idea of, you know, you can do it a different way, and you can be successful, and you can be happy, and you can be profitable. All right, great. Where do I sign up? Right?
Right. Yeah, and I agree with what you said. It sounds simple, but it's not. There are a lot of moving parts, and there's the mechanical parts, and then there's the mindset part.
Mm-hmm.
Some ways, the mindset part is the more complex.
Yeah. So before we wrap up, is there anything else that our listeners should know that we haven't yet covered?
Yeah, that is what I just alluded to, mentioned a moment ago, which is there's the mindset and the mechanics, and you have to have both.
Mm-hmm.
So there are fears and doubts, self-doubts that will come up. But I think it's important. I remember learning, hearing one of the top tennis players on the men's pro circuit, who was saying that, you know, he has doubts, he has fears, but he said that your doubts have to be bigger, or sorry, your belief has to be bigger than your doubt. And it takes energy to do that. And this is one of the greatest players of all time, Novak Djokovic, who said that. And it makes sense, not just on the tennis court, but everywhere else in life. As human beings, we're going to have doubts and fears. We're going to have things that don't go well. We're going to have relationships and conversations and things that we do that don't necessarily go well and that can shake our confidence. The important thing is that our beliefs have to be bigger than our doubts. And that takes practice. It takes surrounding ourselves with other people who understand what we're trying to accomplish and are supportive and are honest and straightforward with us, helping us to point out our blind spots.
Excellent. How can someone find out more about you and what it takes to run a healthy, holistic practice?
Yeah, one of the places to start is to go to my website, which is freedompreneurmd.com. Freedom followed by PR. EnEurmd.com. And they can also send an email to me, george@freedompreneurmd.com.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, George.
Oh, thank you, Gail. It's been a pleasure.
Until next time, remember, be your best story and share your positive news now.
Thanks for listening to Business Innovators Radio. To hear all episodes featuring leading industry influencers and trendsetters, visit us online at businessinnovatorsradio.com today.